Hello and welcome to GradCast, the official radio show and podcast of the Society of Graduate Students at Western University. I'm your host, Anam Anjum.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Hutchinson.
And Emily, I have an interesting question for you today. Okay. If you could promote one healthy habit to the world and make it go viral overnight, what would it be and why?
Okay, one healthy habit. This is a really tricky question because I feel like I love giving advice. And so I can think of like lots of healthy habits, not necessarily ones that I always follow perfectly, but ones that I know, but one that I've worked through recently and I'm encouraging my partner now to do is being able to say no to things and put boundaries on your ability to help other people, because it's, of course, like we want to help others, especially in a research context or when you're at work, but people will ask you for things, or they'll ask you to join this committee, or they'll ask you to help them. And you can say yes to a limited number of those things. You can't say yes to everything. And if you start doing that, you're going to lose all your own time and you're not going to be able to invest in the things that you actually care about. And so I had to learn that lesson when I started the role of managing editor on GradCast, because I said yes to this big role and then I had to start saying no to other things. So that would be 100% the healthy habit that I would want to promote.
Wow, I love that. That's a great habit. Oh my goodness. I have one, which is like walking more, because honestly, I think as we grow up and like take on more like research roles, we live a more like sedentary life. Mm-hmm. So we need to like walk more, and I think we lose the value of walking over time. So that I feel like is a great healthy habit that we all must live.
That is definitely a good one too. And there's links too with like walking past trees, I've heard, that can really help your mental health too. So not just like your physical health, but your mental as well.
Wow. I love that. I need to look into that. So I'm glad today we have our fellow GradCast member who is joining us and who can also talk about healthy living. Mm-hmm. So thank you for joining us today, Apoorva Desai.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be on the other side. I'm looking forward to chatting with you about health promotion.
Yeah, and this will be a fun interview too, because we're all hosts, so we all kind of know how it goes. And so we can kind of have a little more of like a rounded discussion, you know, where we're all chatting. So Apoorva, why don't you go ahead and answer that question too? If you had to promote one healthy habit, what would you say?
Yeah, I know. It was really nice to hear what you had to say for your healthy habits. I think I relate to both of them, saying no and, you know, walking more. I would say for mine, it would be probably promoting sleeping early, going to bed early, just because it helps you wake up rejuvenated. If you're a morning person, of course, if you're a night person, you wouldn't be able to. And you may have work and other commitments, but I find that sleeping early is a great way to promote health. Mm-hmm. And there is research that says between 10 and 2 in night, that's the best time to get your sleep. So you should get a majority of your sleep between 10 and 2. And that seems to be the best for the body and the mind.
Now, that is very interesting to know, especially as a night owl, because I don't sleep too early, but I really want to. So I'll work on that.
That's also cool to hear about the between 10 and 2, because that's something my grandma always says. Like, she'll be like, the hours of sleep you get before midnight are the most important. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of nice to hear that, like, she's right about that. Like, she's been saying that my whole life. And so shout out to you, Grandma. you are correct.
They know what's up, I swear. Like, our kids know. That's fair. Mm-hmm. So could you start us off by actually talking about your program, Apoorva?
Yeah. So I'm in technically in my year one of my master's in health and rehab sciences, and I'm in the field of health promotion. And so I am working on a thesis as we speak, and I also have three required courses for the program, along with common seminar, which allows us to be involved on campus in various opportunities like GradCast. There is also a field seminar that we just completed, and that was for all the health promotion students who are able to, whether their master's or PhD, were able to come together to learn and, you know, do some professional development. And that's about it.
I'm going to ask you a question about health promotion in general. And this is one that I'm actually going to steal from you, because we did an interview together a couple weeks ago where we interviewed two people from the field of health promotion. And you asked them a great question, but you didn't have a chance to answer it. But you said to each of them, what does health promotion mean to you? And I thought that was such a special question. And so now it's your turn to answer that one.
Yeah, I think if you break down health promotion, I think the first thing that comes to mind is health. And health is, for me, I look at it as body, mind, and soul. So I know that I'm most healthy when I don't really have to think about what's going on in my body. That's something I struggle with. And mind, you know, where my mind is thinking forward and is not creating obstacles for me to, for my goals. I think that's a free-flowing mind is the healthy mind for me. And soul is the most important one for me. And that's because I want to do things that I value. And I need that alignment to happen to for my you know, for my soul to feel healthy. And so I'm doing what I want to do, what my heart desires. And that's health for me. And health promotion, basically what I do on a regular basis in my family as well. It gets really annoying. You can ask them about it. And because I've had experiences, I'm always, you know, talking to my family about healthy habits, as we touched on, helping them identify certain things that they can change or do differently to better their well-being. It is really annoying, though. Yeah. Health, as an official definition, is defined as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not just the absence of disease. This is something that is emphasized in health promotion. So it's going beyond thinking about disease in the body or mind, and actually thinking about the factors that promote or create well-being, which are way beyond the body.
That's, I love how detailed and like complex, honestly, health is. And I feel like I don't even think about it being so complex, with it being like broken down into like three different parts. But I do think what you said about it not just being like without disease is so important, because I feel like that's like the first like definition people usually think about, like, oh, you're healthy if you don't have a, like any type of like illness. But that's so flawed. So I love that you thought about that. So I actually had a question about where this journey began, because you're talking about how this is something that you hold dear to your heart and is a part of your life. But where did this begin? Could you talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. So in undergrad, I was pursuing medical school, and I had enrolled in the health sciences program. It was really interesting. The first day that we had the orientation, we were told, you know, most of you won't get into medical school. There were like, you know, 300 of us, like maybe 10% will. And that was heartbreaking. At the same time, they were pointing to, they had given examples of students who had begun the program thinking about medical school and ended up in fields that they could never imagine, in roles they could never imagine. And they were really happy with where they ended up. It was still in the health field, but it was serving their interests and their skills in a different way than just being a doctor. And that was really interesting to hear. And that holds true for health sciences. Even though it is a science, it is really focused on the science of health, which is really breaking down how we kind of looked at health in the beginning, really looking at the different parts that create health and what health means, especially focusing on the social determinants of health. This is a catchphrase in the health sciences. It's a very important term. And this is because, as we talked about, health goes beyond the body and the mind, and it goes towards those factors that create health. And so when I was in undergrad, I was still very adamant on pursuing medical school. And I hadn't noticed the change that has happened within me. As I said, you know, I need to do what I value. And I started to value this really holistic view of health. And that's when it struck me that, you know, I'm no longer identify with the biomedical model, it's called, which is just thinking about the body as a machine, isolated, you know, free from context often, as it's thought about. And I was more identifying with the social ecological model of health, which is our relationship with the environment, with our surroundings, with, you know, the social determinants of health. And that's when I really thought that this is, and the other thing, I think what really is the biggest factor, I think, for me in how I lead my life as well, is just connecting with people who matter the most. When you're trying to design an intervention in health promotion or design a program, you want to, that's one of the core principles, it's to actually tailor the program and to be able to tailor the program to the needs and priorities of your population or your group. You want to be able to work with them first, listen to them, learn from them, really get them involved, and treat them like experts. They're experts in their own way, in their own day-to-day, and that they know best about what is. So you want to combine the research with what that is in the literature, with what is actually happening on the ground, which is often very different. And so that's how we can actually create tailored programs and interventions. And I had a chance to do that actually just after my undergrad as part of a gerontology program. And that's when I met research, and I really kind of got to practice some of these core health promotion strategies, tools. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I really like how you said that all the people who didn't get into med school, it doesn't mean all those people are unhappy now and they failed at their goal and they're in a job like that was kind of second best to them. Like I loved how you pointed out that they didn't know about other pathways and other options and they found the one that was right for them. And I think this is true for very many of us who start out being in high school and saying, I like science, I'll be a doctor. And then you're like, that's what I'll do. And then everyone from your hometown is like, yeah, that's what you'll do. And then you go to university and you realize, oh my goodness, there's a whole world here with so many different paths. And so medical school is one path, but it's not the best path for each person. So I really loved how you pointed that out. That's awesome. I did want to ask you a question. So the social determinants of health, you said this is a key catchphrase for your program, but can you talk about a couple examples of what those are? Like what comes to my mind would be your friendships or how connected you are to your family. Like, is that kind of the right track of what those things are?
So when you think about social, social support is part of it. Definitely, the networks that you create or are able to create, or have access to. There is also, the really important prerequisites for healthy living, which are the income, education, employment, ability, status, certain things that basically things that make us who we are, how they really influence your well-being, how they intersect in different ways to create well-being or not, or create poor health outcomes. Health is not a choice. That's something that's emphasized in health promotion. Health is determined by so many of these factors, and so it goes beyond making lifestyle choices. So if we want people in health promotion as health promoters to make changes, we have to think beyond their ability to make certain decisions about their health. It's also these preconditions for health that need to be worked on, and that's really important.
So I wanted to go back to your program and ask you what courses you did that you took last semester, but also what you're in right now.
So last semester I took qualitative research. So this was an intro to qualitative research course, and we are to take one methods course, and that's the one I completed last semester. Again, qualitative research is something that aligns well with principles of health promotion, and also how I view things, what I value, because qualitative research is very much about connecting with people, really looking at and words. I think words are data often, and that's something that matters to me. It's something that I truly believe can make a huge difference, words and language, and the expression of that through research is really valuable. And again, we're getting those involved who matter, who are experiencing these things that we're studying, and who are able to identify, who are able to actually express themselves through qualitative research. And this semester I am not taking any courses, but next semester I will be taking knowledge translation course, and then I'll have a field-based course, which is the health promotion course.
That's cool. And that actually started to address one of the questions that I was thinking about is how is research done for health promotion? Because it's not all about like an experiment like that I would do. So I'm in just biology and I go into the lab and I measure fluorescence of enzymes and that kind of thing. And so that's not really the sort of research that you would be doing. So could you talk a little bit about those qualitative research methods that you learned about and how you design good studies to figure out different things within the field of health promotion?
You bring up a great point. So the fundamental difference is in the paradigms. So what we called belief systems and core assumptions about the world and about knowledge. And this is where the difference actually comes in. Have you thought about it, Emily? Have you thought about your core assumptions for research, for doing for about the world and about doing research in a certain way, that actually shapes your methodology and then your methods. And it's really important to have that congruence between them, that your paradigm should align well with your methodology and your method. Positionality is something that matters, I think, even to the point of, because I haven't picked a thesis topic, even though it will be partly determined by my supervisor, their interests. I think it is going to be, you know, partly influenced by my positionality, what I value, what I believe to be true. So in health promotion also has quantitative and qualitative research, both, and even mixed methods research. So it's not that the field is restricted to qualitative research. Where I what I identify with and what I enjoy and have a passion for is connecting with people. So qualitative research was what really brought it home for me for health promotion. I think this is the core of what we learned about is paradigm, methodology, and methods. So this distinction between them and really starting to understand where we stand and how that's going to influence the studies we do. And even while we're conducting the studies, remaining reflexive. It's called reflexivity. Really remaining reflexive. Like, for example, if we're doing interviews, we want to be aware of how we're coming across to the participant. How is the participant reacting to what we're saying? How is it actually, you know, like, what is the broader context or discourse that we're addressing, that the study is addressing, and how does it actually fit into that? So context really matters. So context, brings us back to the social determinants of health. So the context around health is really important. And this is how qualitative research this is where it begins. And because context matters, we're not looking for one truth. We're looking for multiple truths. So there can be multiple realities that people have that we are trying to tap into actually the range of realities that we can find, the range of truths that we can find, rather than one single truth. Because everyone is going to have a different experience. And that makes for rich data, rather than like in qualitative research, because that's the paradigm. We're working with multiple realities. We're assuming multiple realities. For example, there is a constructivist paradigm where we're constructing the data. That's the assumption. We're constructing the data with the participants. So it needs to be, considered. The context needs to be considered. That's the core of qualitative research.
Wow. Actually, I had two questions here. So first question, when you're talking about like reflect, or like while like you gave the example of like when you're conducting an interview, like how you're coming off matters. So is body language like a really big part of that?
Yeah, like many elements of, you know, like subjective elements of the researcher. That's the major difference, right? Researcher is actually an instrument in qualitative research and needs to be examined. It has a huge influence on the study. Body language definitely matters. How the question is framed would matter, because that would change the participant's way of responding. And then we can go deeper into like kind of the what is, where do the participant and the researcher stand? What about their positionality? What about the participant's positionality? How does it relate to the research? How does it influence what they share and maybe what they do not share? And that can be influenced by both the researcher's positionality and the participants. So there are just as reflective as you can be is what is most beneficial and lends credibility to research in qualitative research.
That sounds so interesting. I feel like because a lot of my background has also been more related to quantitative research, I haven't really thought too deeply about qualitative research. But I had a question about like, I feel like there would be so many challenges in conducting a experiment related to this, because if you're talking to so many different people, you have to keep in mind, like, yes, your own positionality, your own like biases, but also each person comes in with so many different biases, but also like their own experiences. So are there any significant challenges that you could anticipate coming up during your own like research? Do you anticipate any?
Yeah, there are multiple challenges with conducting research. I think, you know, ethically, making sure that research is ethically sound is really important. And it's not just the ethics protocol that we have to meet. In qualitative research, because we're dealing with people and they're in their natural settings often, we want to make sure that we are practicing something called ethics in practice. And this is ongoing. This is where reflexivity helps, making sure that our actions are ethically sound at every stage. For example, confidentiality, we're making sure that, you know, we're keeping things confidential. And we're also, these are things that would be covered in an ethics protocol, but certain things that when we're dealing with people, certain things can come up and they're unexpected. And so we need to make sure that we're prepared to deal with those situations and we deal with them ethically. For example, someone might share something sensitive that you did not anticipate, and you know, it brings you in an awkward position. But you have to kind of expect these things, that they're going to happen. And you just have to continuously engage in that reflexivity and actually work with others who are on your research team and come up with solutions. But often it's on the spot. You have to come up with something on the spot. You may have to, for example, offer to stop the interview, right? So this is just the surface level, really. This was an intro to qualitative research course. And once I, you know, actually get into the field, this will become even more complicated, I'm sure.
So we're approaching the end of the interview. So I think that we might only have time for one more question. So I'm going to ask you, so what advice would you give for someone who is considering a career in health promotion?
For me, the why matters a lot. And I think, you know, in the long term, if we want to enjoy the work that we're doing, I think we need to consider the why. The why needs to be really clear. I think that's the first thing that I would say. So why does it matter to you? Why does health matter to you? And why does health promotion, why do you actually relate to health promotion? In what way does it speak to you?
All right. If any of our listeners want to get in contact with you or follow your career, do you have any social media that you could refer them to?
Yeah, so I have a LinkedIn. I have written a couple of articles as well that I plan to write more that relate to health promotion and my own journey. And I also share updates on there. And so, yeah.
Okay. We will put that in the description of the episode. And lastly, thank you so much for coming on as the guest on GradCast. Thank you for sharing with us your wisdom about health promotion. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right. This has been GradCast, the official radio show and podcast of the Society of Graduate Students at Western University. I've been your host, Emily Hutchinson. My co-host was Anam Anjum, and we've been speaking with another GradCast host, Apurva Desai. And this episode was produced by me, Emily Hutchinson. If you'd like to get involved with the show or get in contact with us, you can send us an email at gradcast@sogs.ca. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, or Twitter at GradCast Radio. And to listen to us, we're on Radio Western 94.9 FM on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can find all of our episodes wherever you find your podcasts and on our website, gradcast.ca. Thank you for listening and enjoy the rest of your day.